Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Capitalism in America, A History by Alan Greenspan with journalist Adrian Wooldridge, traces how the United States built an economic system that repeatedly reinvented itself through invention, finance, policy, and culture. Using a broad historical sweep, the book follows American capitalism from the colonial period through industrialization, the rise of corporations and Wall Street, the New Deal order, post-war expansion, and the more volatile era of globalization and modern finance. The authors focus on the forces that made the U.S. unusually dynamic, abundant land and resources, a talent for engineering and entrepreneurship, deep capital markets, and an institutional framework that generally protected property and contracts. At the same time, they emphasize that capitalism has never been static or purely market-driven. It has been shaped by political choices, regulations, wars, technological shocks, and public expectations about fairness and opportunity. The result is a narrative that aims to explain both American prosperity and recurring instability, while raising questions about resilience, inequality, and the future of growth. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, foundations of a high-growth economy. A central theme is how the early United States developed conditions that favored rapid capitalist expansion compared with many European societies. The book highlights the combination of geography, demography, and institutions that encouraged risk-taking and mobility. Abundant land and natural resources reduced constraints on expansion, while immigration and internal migration supplied labor and ambition. The authors also stress the importance of legal and political frameworks that supported private enterprise, such as enforceable contracts, protection of property, and relatively open access to starting businesses. Early financial innovations and the gradual development of credit channels helped connect savers to entrepreneurs, enabling projects that were larger than what family wealth could fund. Another element is the cultural esteem for practical invention and commercial success, which fed a cycle of experimentation, learning, and scaling. This section of the story frames American capitalism as a system that grew through decentralized initiative rather than centralized planning, even as government decisions on tariffs, banking, and infrastructure influenced outcomes. By describing these foundations, the book sets up later debates about whether current institutions still reward innovation and broad opportunity at the same pace. Secondly, industrialization, corporate power, and creative destruction. The narrative then follows the transformation from a primarily agrarian economy into an industrial powerhouse. This period features railroads, steel, oil, electricity, and mass production, along with the rise of national markets. The book examines how scale became a competitive advantage, pushing business organization toward large corporations capable of coordinating vast supply chains and capital-intensive technologies. With size came new forms of power, including the ability to influence prices, wages, and politics, which in turn provoked public backlash and the emergence of antitrust thinking. The authors treat this era as one of intense creative destruction. New technologies and business models generated wealth while disrupting communities, crafts, and older firms. A key implication is that American capitalism advanced through continual restructuring, not smooth equilibrium. The tension between dynamism and concentration becomes a recurring motif as policymakers and citizens tried to preserve competition without destroying the productive efficiencies that large enterprises delivered. By explaining the industrial surge and the accompanying regulatory and social responses, the book provides context for modern concerns about dominant firms and market structure in technology, finance, and logistics. Thirdly, finance, the business cycle, and the role of central banking. A major part of the analysis focuses on finance as both an engine of growth and a source of instability. The book connects the development of deep capital markets to the capacity for large-scale investment, highlighting why the United States became adept at channeling savings into ventures, infrastructure, and corporate expansion. At the same time, the authors explore the recurring pattern of booms, busts, and panics that accompanied financial innovation and leverage. The creation and evolution of central banking and monetary policy are presented as attempts to reduce the damage of crises while preserving the benefits of market-driven capital allocation. Greenspan's background shapes attention to interest rates, credit conditions, and how expectations can amplify cycles. The book also treats financial regulation as a moving frontier. Rules tighten after crises and loosen during long expansions, often leaving new vulnerabilities. By situating modern episodes within a longer historical cycle, the authors argue that instability is not a temporary flaw, but a persistent feature of capitalist finance. The discussion encourages readers to think about trade-offs among growth, risk, transparency, and resilience when designing financial institutions and oversight. Fourthly, government, regulation, and the reinvention of American capitalism. Rather than depicting markets and government as separate spheres, The book portrays American capitalism as repeatedly reshaped by political choices. It considers how wars, depressions, and social movements expanded the state's role, while periods of prosperity often renewed faith in private enterprise and deregulation. The New Deal and the post-war settlement appear as pivotal moments that rebalanced labor relations, social insurance, banking rules, and expectations about the safety net. The authors track how regulation has alternated between curbing excess and enabling growth, with outcomes that depend on implementation quality and economic context. They also examine public investment and policy frameworks that supported long-term development, including infrastructure, education, and research linked to defense and technology. This topic emphasizes that capitalism survives by adaptation, when legitimacy erodes due to inequality, insecurity, or perceived unfairness. New rules emerge to restore confidence. The book uses this historical pattern to frame current debates about whether policy is keeping up with globalization, technological change, and financial complexity. Readers are invited to see regulation not as an on-off switch, but as a continuous process of institutional updating to match evolving markets. Lastly, globalization, inequality, and the future of prosperity. In its later chapters, the book turns to the modern era, when trade integration, cross-border capital flows, and rapid technological change altered the distribution of gains from growth. The authors outline how globalization expanded markets and lowered costs, benefiting consumers and many firms, while intensifying competitive pressure on certain industries and regions. Technological progress, especially in information and automation, is linked to rising returns for high-skill labor and capital, contributing to widening inequality and divergent local outcomes. The book treats these trends as challenges to the social contract that historically sustained support for capitalism. It also considers the implications of aging demographics, slower productivity growth, and heightened political polarization for future economic performance. While not dismissing capitalism's capacity for renewal, the author suggests that sustaining dynamism will require restoring broad-based opportunity and confidence in institutions. This topic underscores that capitalism is judged not only by aggregate GDP, but by whether people experience mobility, security, and fair rules. The discussion positions current policy questions, from education and workforce adaptation to market competition and fiscal stability, as decisive for maintaining American prosperity. In conclusion, this book best suits readers who want a big-picture understanding of how the American economy became so innovative and wealthy, as well as those who follow debates about regulation, central banking, inequality, and the durability of the market system. It is especially useful for business leaders, investors, policy-minded professionals, and students who need a historical framework that connects technological change, financial development, and government action over time. The benefit to a reader's life is practical. It sharpens judgment about economic headlines by showing that many modern controversies have deep precedents, and it encourages clearer thinking about trade-offs between growth, stability, and fairness. Compared with similar histories of American capitalism, this book stands out for its emphasis on finance and institutional evolution, informed by Greenspan's long experience in economic policy and Wooldridge's narrative skill. The result is a readable synthesis that links entrepreneurship and innovation to monetary systems, regulation, and political legitimacy. For buyers choosing among broad economic histories, it offers a distinctive angle on why American capitalism has been both remarkably productive and periodically crisis-prone, and why its future depends on continual adaptation rather than nostalgia. If you would like to support Alan Greenspan, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.